Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories from Hawker News. I'm Mike.
And I'm Sarah. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, 2026, and this is episode 354. We're covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, and we have a fantastic lineup for you.
We really do. Today, we're looking at a massive privacy scandal involving LinkedIn, Google dropping their new Gemma 4 open models, Sweden ditching screens for physical books in schools, Linux gaming hitting a huge milestone on Steam, and AMD stepping up their local AI game with a new tool called Lemonade.
Let's start with the biggest story of the day, pulling in almost 1,600 points. The headline is, LinkedIn is searching your browser extensions. This comes from a campaign site called Browsergate, and Mike, this is a pretty wild read.
It really is. The accusation here is that Microsoft and LinkedIn are running a massive corporate espionage operation. Every time you visit LinkedIn, hidden code is supposedly scanning your computer for installed software and extensions, and then sending that data back to LinkedIn and third parties, including an external cybersecurity firm.
Right, and because you're logged into LinkedIn, this isn't anonymous data. They know your real name, your employer, and your job title. The report claims they're scanning for over 6,000 products, specifically targeting competitor sales tools like Apollo, Lucia, or ZoomInfo. So they can essentially map out exactly which companies are using their competitor's software by scanning their users' browsers.
And it gets much darker. The scan also allegedly picks up extensions that reveal religious beliefs, political orientations, neurodivergent accessibility tools, and even job search extensions. Imagine your current employer being able to figure out you're secretly looking for work because LinkedIn scanned a job search tool on your browser and flagged your profile.
The EU Digital Markets Act angle is fascinating too. The EU told LinkedIn they had to open up their platform to third-party tools. LinkedIn supposedly provided two restricted APIs that handle a fraction of a call per second, while their internal Voyager API handles over 160,000 calls per second. And at the exact same time, they built this surveillance system to find and punish users of the very third-party tools the EU was trying to protect.
The Hacker News comment section was mostly just people in absolute shock. The top comment, which I think perfectly encapsulates the cynical exhaustion of the tech community right now, was literally just one word. Sorry.
Just sorry. It feels like it was written by an exhausted Microsoft engineer, or maybe just someone apologizing on behalf of the entire tech industry. It's a huge privacy breach of True, and we'll definitely be keeping a close eye on the legal proceedings in the EU.
Moving from big tech surveillance to big tech open source, Google just released their Gemma 4 open models, and the community is incredibly excited. This post grabbed over 1,200 points.
Google is really pushing the boundaries of what you can run locally. They released four sizes. You have the E2B and E4B models, which are designed for edge devices like phones or even Raspberry Pis, running completely offline with near zero latency. Then you have the 26 billion and 31 billion parameter models, which are aimed at consumer GPUs and personal computers.
The capabilities are what really stand out here. We're talking native support for agentic workflows, function calling, and strong multimodal reasoning for audio and visual inputs. They also support 140 languages out of the box.
The Hacker News thread was full of people already building with it. Daniel Hanshin from Unsloth was in the comments sharing that they had already made quantized versions of the models to make them easier to run. And I loved reading about what people are actually doing with these local models. One user set up a pipeline using llama.cpp and Gemma to process land records dating back to the 1800s. They are using OCR, full-text search, and translation entirely locally.
That's the real dream of local AI, right? Processing highly sensitive or historical documents without having to send them to a cloud provider and worry about redaction or privacy. Another user mentioned using a compact 0.9 billion parameter model called GLM-OCR just for extracting complex tables from law textbooks on a basic Mac.
It is incredible how fast the inference has gotten, too. Someone benchmarked the 26 billion parameter model on a Radeon 7900 XTX graphics card and was getting over 100 tokens per second. We're really entering an era where your personal workstation is a highly capable AI server.
Speaking of returning to local offline experiences, our next story takes us to Sweden. The headline is, Sweden goes back to basics, swapping screens for books in the classroom. This one sparked a massive debate with over 760 points.
Yes, the Swedish government is investing heavily in physical textbooks and actual paper. Last year, they allocated $83 million just for textbooks and teachers' guides, aiming for every student to have a physical book for every single subject. They are also planning to make schools cell phone free nationwide. This is a huge pivot. For the last decade or two, Sweden, much like the US, was racing to put an iPad or a Chromebook on every student's desk. But Swedish students' standardized test scores in reading, math, and science have been declining. So educators are reassessing whether the digitalization of classrooms was actually evidence-based.
The article points out concerns about screen time, distraction, and the erosion of deep reading and sustained attention. A literacy consultant mentioned in the piece had a great quote, saying technology is a tool, not a teacher, and the cognitive architecture for reading is really built for print.
The Hacker News comments were super insightful on this. One user who used to work in EdTech said their pedagogy experts were warning about this a decade ago. They pointed out that handwriting is crucial for cognitive development, and that inundating kids with tech pre-university was a massive mistake. They even compared the long-term consequences to a generational famine.
But there was also a lot of nuance in the thread. People were arguing that we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Basic technical literacy, like touch typing and understanding how a computer works, is still vital. The problem is when we replace core learning, like reading a long novel or working through a math problem, with a gamified app.
Exactly. Someone asked if it would be a mistake to use interactive graphing tools like Desmos in a math class, or to teach statistics using Python, and the consensus seemed to be that those are great targeted uses of technology. But maybe kids don't need to do their daily reading assignments on a glowing screen that also has YouTube just one tab away.
Let's shift gears to some massive news for the Linux community. Steam on Linux use skyrocketed above 5% in March. This is huge.
It really is. 5.33% to be exact, according to the March 2026 Steam Hardware Survey. To put that in perspective, Linux gaming market share is now more than double the macOS market share, which sits at 2.35%.
I remember the pre-Steam Deck days, when Linux was hovering around 1%, and every fractional increase was a cause for celebration on the forums. Now we're over 5%. Windows actually lost over 4% in this survey, dropping down to 92.3%.
A lot of this is driven by the Steam Deck, obviously. Around a quarter of these Linux gamers are running SteamOS. And because the Steam Deck uses a custom AMD APU, AMD processor use among Linux gamers is sitting just under 70%.
There is a bit of a statistical anomaly here, though. Valve corrected their Steam China numbers again, which led to a massive 31% drop in simplified Chinese language use in the survey, and a corresponding bump in English and other languages. That definitely contributed to the percentage spikes for Linux and Mac.
Even with the statistical correction, the absolute numbers are undeniably growing. Valve's investment in the Proton compatibility layer has completely changed the landscape. You don't have to dual boot Windows just to play your Steam library anymore. It's a massive win for open ecosystems.
And speaking of AMD and open ecosystems, our final story is about a new release from AMD called Lemonade. It's a fast, open-source local LLM server using GPU and NPU.
This is AMD directly addressing one of their biggest pain points. For a long time, if you wanted to run local AI models, NVIDIA was the default choice because their CUDA ecosystem just worked. Running things on AMD hardware using their ROCm platform was often described as a rough, frustrating experience.
Lemonade is designed to be a turnkey solution. It's a lightweight C++ backend that automatically configures dependencies for your AMD GPU or NPU. It works with Llama.cpp, Ryzen AI software, and exposes an OpenAI compatible API, so you can just plug it into apps like OpenWeb UI, GitHub Copilot, or any other tool that expects an OpenAI endpoint.
The Hacker News comments were thrilled about this, especially people running the new AMD Strix Halo laptops. A lot of developers are using machines like the Framework desktop or laptop with 128 gigabytes of unified memory. Because the memory is unified, you can load massive models like the Qwen 3.5 122 billion parameter model or the Qwen Coder Next models without needing a massive server rack.
One user mentioned they are getting around 43 tokens per second on a Qwen Coder model using a Framework laptop with Strix Halo. That is incredibly fast for a local machine. There was also a really interesting discussion about neural processing units, or NPUs, which are built into a lot of these new chips.
Right. NPUs are the big marketing buzzword right now. But a commenter pointed out that NPUs are mostly designed for smaller models and background tasks. They don't easily share workloads with the GPU. The real advantage for these massive models is still that huge pool of unified RAM that the integrated GPU can access.
It's just great to see AMD officially backing an inference server that handles the driver maze for you. One user noted they used to get complete hardware lockups on Linux with their 7900 XTX graphics card when they exceeded their VRAM limit using llama.cpp. Having an official tool that manages these edge cases safely is going to make AMD hardware a much more viable option for the local AI community.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of HN Pod. 5 huge stories covering everything from corporate surveillance and edtech backlash to the booming local AI and Linux gaming scenes.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or colleague. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News.
Until then, keep building, keep hacking, and maybe double check what browser extensions you have installed. See you tomorrow.